Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
And so we need to learn God's economy and how to plug into it. Now, God's plan of economy can be summed up in one word. In one word. And that word is found over in Luke chapter 6. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6. It's our verse of the month. Luke 6. Verse 38. It's the first word, give. God's plan of economy can be summed up in the word give. Now, this is kind of a part two of last week's sermon. It is so simple, yet so powerful in God's plan. Give. Over in John chapter 11, and hold your place in Luke and turn to John chapter 11. Jesus again makes it clear that in order to get in on God's economy, we must give. John 12, 24 and 25. Jesus is speaking. Look at what he says. Truly, truly. Now when Jesus really wants to stress a truth and says, in other words, he's saying now, wake up, listen now, pay attention, stop daydreaming. He'll say, truly, truly. In the Hebrew language, to repeat was to give special emphasis. That's why we have holy, holy, holy. Three times God's holiness is spoken of is the Lord God Almighty. That is the ultimate emphasis. Truly, truly says, hey, pay attention. Listen now. I'm going to tell you something very important. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. That's the principle. Give. Every need you have can be met with this principle. Give. Your need for eternal life is met with this principle. Give. Lose your life that you might gain it. Christians enter into great spiritual adventures through this principle. Now sometimes Christians think, man, my Christian life is boring. I mean, if I'm really honest about it, preacher, and not too many times are people that honest with me, but I kind of hear things, you know. And I think, you know, my Christian life is just kind of boring. It's just kind of humdrum. It's kind of drab. Well, if you want to enter into an adventurous, exciting Christian life, then you apply this principle. Give. You want to get exciting? You want to get off the boring track? You go home and you liquidate all your assets and you give it away. And you don't have anything but God to trust. Let me tell you, it'll get exciting quick. Your life will get off boring real fast. But you see, we want to live in what I call the comfort zone of Christianity. Right? And that's why it's boring. You're living in the comfort zone of Christianity. You have a convenience Christianity. See? You give, but not enough to really get you out of the comfort zone. Right? You'll trust God for some things, but not big enough things that get you out of the comfort zone. Out of your security. But if you'll apply this principle and give liberally, give abundantly, I'll tell you right quick, your life will get very exciting. You'll walk and see God as you've never seen Him before. This principle enables Christians to enter into great adventures for God. You read the Christian biographies that have become famous because men and women have done great things in the name of God. or God has used them to do great things. And you know what you'll find in every one of those? They all gave abundantly. Without exception. You look and you'll see they gave their time abundantly, or they gave their life abundantly, or they gave of finances abundantly. They gave, folks. They knew this principle and they got in on it. And that's why God used them in a mighty way. They were no greater than you and I. They were people like us. The difference was they understood God's economy and they got in on it. Loneliness is cured with this principle. Hearts are opened. Friendships are mended. Bitterness is removed. And we will observe three things about this principle from the lips of our Lord. We'll see that it is a personal principle, it is a practical principle, it is a profitable principle. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap. For the measure by which you deal out, it will be dealt out to you in return. That's it. First, it is a personal principle. It is personally inclusive. That's the first thing I want you to see. You see the word give? In the Greek, it is the plural verb, which means it's not just one person. It is everyone is to give. All inclusive. It doesn't matter where you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're old, whether you're young. You are to give. It is all inclusive. It is for everyone, without exception. You say, well, what am I to give? You're to give everything good. Your stewardship involves all of your commodities. We're to give our time, our abilities, our love, our money, our friendship. Everything that's good fits into this principle of giving. It's all inclusive. Secondly, it is personally imperative. It is a command. The Greek language is very clear, and the give is in the imperative mood. It is a command. Jesus didn't say, now I've got a suggestion for you folks. You might think about giving. He didn't say, well, if you feel like it, why don't you consider giving? He didn't say, well, if you have something left over, then think about giving. Or if you have time, give. He didn't make any conditions on it. The command is to give. It is personally imperative. The Lord Jesus Himself is commanding you and I as believers to give. To get in on God's plan of economy. Thirdly, it is personally continuous. You see the Greek word? Give. In the Greek word, it is present tense, which is a continual thing. In other words, he doesn't say give spasmodically or give once a year. But we are to give as a lifestyle. We are to continually give. It is to be a permanent part of our lifestyle. We should live a life of giving. You never get paid up, folks, in God's kingdom. I was thinking today, you never get paid up, you never get prayed up in God's kingdom. There's always more praying to be done and always more giving to be done. It is to be continual. Now, secondly, it is a practical principle. Notice it says, give, and it will be given to you. It's practical. Giving unlocks God's abundant resources into your situation. Listen to me now. Giving unlocks the abundant resources of God into your situation. When this principle is ignored or it's disobeyed or it's disregarded, you know what you do? You lock up God's resources. I mean, God is waiting to pour forth in your life His abundant resources, but you have locked them up because you're not applying His principles. You know the Dead Sea? I've been there. Some of you have been there. There's no place on earth as desolate as the Dead Sea. Nothing grows. No fish live in it. Why? Because it doesn't have an outlet. It doesn't give. All it does is receive. The Jordan River flows in there, and it doesn't have anything coming out of it, and it just all sits there, and all the minerals deposit there, and nothing will grow. It's desolate. Take that seed that Jesus spoke of. What happens to a seed as long as you leave it on your shelf in your garage? Nothing. Not one thing. That seed has got to, first of all, decay and die before it will produce. It's built into God's universe. To hold back, to hold on, is to block the blessing of God. You can hold on to that seed, that kernel of corn, and it will never do anything. It's not until it is given, it's planted, it dies, it decays, that the corn stalk grows up, and many ears are produced in many kernels of corn. Give, and it will be given unto you. Giving opens the channels of God's resources into your life. You remember when Jesus was teaching the 25,000, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, and they were hungry, and Jesus said to His disciples, "I'm afraid to send them home faint like this. They might faint along the way. Give them something to eat." His disciples said, "Lord, I mean, there are no McDonald's around. There are no 7-Elevens. Where are we going to get food for all this, even if we had the money?" And we don't have the money. So they went out, and they found this little boy that had the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. Remember? You know the story. And Jesus took that gift, because that boy gave. Jesus took that, multiplied it, fed the multitudes, 25,000 people. That's a pretty big catering service, isn't it? And had 12 baskets full left over. Big baskets. Baskets big enough for a man to get inside of. Left over. Ever thought what would have happened if that little boy had not given? If he'd said, "I'm not going to give up my lunch." And he'd kind of hid it under his robe. Jesus could have provided. He could have created food for them, couldn't He? But you see, God has chosen to follow the principles He's put forth. And it was necessary for that little boy to give to unlock the riches and resources of God into that situation. And that's God's plan of economy. This is seen in nature, as we saw last week. All of nature is built on the principle of giving. God demonstrated it Himself when He gave His own Son to accomplish our salvation. I mean, God didn't just theoretically say this is it. He lived it Himself. He demonstrated it when He gave His only Son, Jesus. And it's true in the area of human need as well. Listen to what Proverbs 11:25 says. "The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." When we give, God multiplies back to us. The seeds bring forth the fruit. Give, and it will be given to you. That's definite. And notice the phrases. Good measure. Not stingily. God doesn't give back stingily, but good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will pour into your lap. Listen, if you have a need, give at the point of that need. You know what we usually do? We give at the point of our surplus, don't we? That's man's way of economy. Give where you have the most, right? God says, uh-uh. Give where you have the least. Now listen, that is very crucial. You go to your place of greatest need, whether it be love, whether it be friendship, whatever it is, whether it be time, you go to the place of your greatest need, and that's where you give. That's where you need to have it multiplied back. If you give out of your surplus, you don't need any more of that. Give at the point of your greatest need. That's God's plan. Look over in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me show you this illustrated in Scripture. See, again, because we want a comfort zone Christianity, we tend to give out of our surplus. Well, I've got some time on my hands now that my kids are grown, and it's just me and the husband, so I think I'll volunteer to do something at church. I got some extra time on my hands. We think when we have the abundance, that's where we should give the most. Now, you should give your time, but that's not where your greatest need is. Your greatest need to give is where you have the greatest need. That's where you need to plant the seed. 1 Kings 17. Look at verse 10. Now let me set the stage for you. God has caused a drought to come upon the land of Israel because of their wickedness. God has sent the prophet Elijah out into the wilderness. The ravens fed him. They brought him meat every day, and he drank out of the brook there. Well, the brook dried up because of the drought. So God says, go into the town of Zarephath. There's a widow there. I've commanded her to feed you. So we pick up the story. He goes in and he sees this widow, verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He calls to her and says, please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, what was this lady's greatest need? She needed something to eat. She needed some flour. She needed some oil. She had all she had, and she said, we're going to make one last meal, and then we're going to die. I'm gathering the sticks to make the fire right now. That was her place of greatest need. And it was at that very place that Elijah said, look on, verse 13. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. But it's only enough for one. And you want me to make you one? That's exactly what God called on her to do. Verse 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Now, was this woman going to get in on God's economy? Or was she going to hold on to man's economy and starve to death because she wouldn't let go? You say, oh, but she had to provide for her family. She had God's word from God's man that God was going to provide. Was she going to believe it? Was she going to believe it? Verse 15. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. Hallelujah. The flour, bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. She had her point of greatest need. She gave at that point of greatest need. Give and it shall be given back to you. And not only did she get just as much as she gave, she got enough for her and her son to live throughout that drought. Hallelujah. She got in on God's economy. If you're experiencing an unmet need in your life, the first thing you need to check is your giving in that area. It may well be your giving is lacking in that area. Therefore, you are locking up God's resources. Turn over to Haggai That's in the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1. To help you, it's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. If that helps you any. Haggai. It's permissible to use your table of contents. It's a short book, so you probably won't find it just thrumming through, because you'll probably go over it. Haggai. These people were experiencing a need in their lives. You know why? Because their giving was not what it should have been. They were locking up. You see, they'd gone back. This is after the exile. You remember the temple was destroyed. They'd gone back from Babylonian exile. And it was time to rebuild the temple. But these people hadn't gotten around to doing that yet because they were too busy building their own houses and paneling their walls and putting in carpet and all that good stuff. Just hadn't gotten around to giving time or material resources to build up the house of God. Well, the prophet Haggai comes to them. Chapter 1, verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses with this house, that is the temple, lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Think about how things are in your life. You have sown much, but you harvest little. Man, you put the seed out, but not much has come back. Do you wonder why? Man, you're working hard, but you're not seeing much return. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. Do you wonder why? You're lacking even in your food supply. You drink, but there's not enough to get drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. He who earns wages to put into purse with holes in it. Man, your money's just seems like you make it, but it's just gone. You ever had that feeling? Your wife ever said to you, well, where's it all going? And you say, I don't know. You look at the checkbook and see as good as I can, but it's gone. I don't know where, but it's gone. You ever felt that way? That's what they were doing. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Other words, now look. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Get your giving right. Give your time. Give your material things. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, the earth has withheld its produce. And I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, on all the labor of your hands. Man, you can work as hard as you want, but you will not produce because you have blocked up the blessings of God because you are not giving. So if you are experiencing an unmet need in your life, you need to first of all look at your giving. Now that's not the only reason we have unmet needs. Sometimes God is building our faith. But you need to look first of all at your giving and say, now God, is my giving what it should be? Is my giving what you would desire it to be? I never have enough time. My time is just gone. I don't have enough time to do the things I want to do. I don't have enough time to be with my family like I want to be, to serve God like I want to be. You've got an unmet need there of time. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to give some of that most precious time to serve God, to serve others. And then let God multiply time back to you. You say, man, I just don't have any patience. Well, you need to give patience. That's where you need to give. Trusting God to multiply back. Giving it will be given to you. You say, man, I just don't have any love. I just don't have any friends. Nobody loves me. Well, then you need to give love. You need to act loving to other people. You need to act friendly to other people. Plant that seed and God will multiply back. You say, well, I'm just lonely. Well, then you need to make a point to befriend somebody else who's lonely. You need to give in that area and watch God multiply back. You say, well, financially, man, we just strapped. You need to give more when you are financially strapped than when you have an abundance, folks. Now, hear that. You need to be giving more when you have less, because that's where your need is. You give so that God will multiply back. Now listen to this one. So you can give more. Now some people think, well, that sounds pretty good. I'll give in order to get more back so I can hold on to it. Mm-mm. You give so God will multiply back so you can give more. And He multiplies back and you give more. That's God's principle. He's not going to be mocked. He knows your heart. You can't say, well, I'm going to give just so I can get more back and I can hold on to it, spend it on myself. No. But let me tell you, if you hold on to it, your purses are going to have holes in them. It's going to go right through. Give and it will be given to you. Now listen to this. God is the one who will multiply back, not people. Sometimes we make a mistake and we think, well, I need a friend, so I will give myself to be a friend to somebody else, thinking that God's going, or they're going to multiply their friendship back to you. That's not the way it works. God is the one who multiplies back. Don't look to people to do it. You may seek to give your time to help somebody else, but don't look for that person to turn around and try to help you back. Now, you've got to trust God. He keeps the books, not us. And in His time and in His way, He will multiply back to you. But it's not for you to be saying, okay, God, when is it coming now? When is it coming? You know, I have given love, but I haven't seen any love come back. Now you let God deal with that. You just in faith give and it will be given to you. He doesn't say immediately, but He says it will be given. So where do you start to give? You give at the point of your greatest need. You remember Hannah? She was the mother of Samuel. You remember Hannah's greatest need before Samuel was born? She didn't have any children. Her competition had a number of children and used to bring it up to her and make her feel awful about it. And she wept and she went down to the temple and prayed, just fervently prayed. So much so that Eli the priest thought she had been drinking. Because she was just praying silently but her lips were moving. And she said, I don't have a child. I don't have a son. That was her greatest need. God heard her prayer. He gave her a son. And what did she do with him? Gave him back. Gave him back to the Lord. And you know what? As a result of that, giving at the greatest point. You'd think, man, I waited this long. I prayed this long. I finally got one. No, sir, I'm not going to let go of him. No way. I'm going to hold on so tight, I hope he never even gets married. Not this lady. She understood God's economy. She gave him back to God. And you know, as a result of it, she had 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. Praise God. You can't outgive God. You can't do it. You remember the centurion soldier who had a need? His servant was sick. He has a need. What's his need? His need is to have authority over that sickness. So he comes to Jesus. And you know what he does? He gives his authority to Jesus. As a Roman centurion soldier, really Jesus was under his authority because the Romans were in control of Palestine, of Israel. But this soldier submits himself to Jesus' authority and says, I realize that I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. If you will just say the word, I know my servant will be healed. Jesus marveled at his faith. He gave his authority. As a result, the authority over the sickness came. And Jesus said, it has been done as you have believed. And his servant was healed. Very practical principle. And then lastly, it is a profitable principle. It is backed by God Himself. He guarantees it, folks. And that's better than any guarantee any company in this United States or this world can give you. God never reneges on His promises. God will literally move heaven and earth to accomplish His promise. Now the picture is of the Jesus' day when the men wore the long robes. And the idea is of measuring grain. And He says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." And the men would grab their robe under their arm and they would hold it up and it would make a big pouch. The grain, He says, would be given back to you good measure, poured in till it's, man, just real good measure. But not only that, but what? Pressed down. You're trying to really stack it in there good, so you press it down and make it real tight. But not only good measure and pressed down, but what else? Shaken together. Get it settling way down all the way. You know, we buy these boxes of things and they always say on the outside, packed at such and such a weight. Settling probably has occurred because you open up this big container and it's half empty. It's settled. Not this case. Man, they've already pressed it down, shaken it together, settled it, and then what else? Running over. They will pour into your lap. For the measure that you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return. What Jesus is saying there is that our receiving will be in proportion to our giving. You give a little, you're going to receive a little. You give abundantly, you're going to receive abundantly. Paul said, "He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully." People sometimes say to me, "Well, preacher, you know, I've been trying to figure out, should I give a tenth based on my income before taxes or my income after taxes?" And you know the answer to that, folks, is, well, how much do you want to be blessed? That's the real answer. If you want to be blessed just a little, then give after taxes. If you want to be blessed more, give before taxes. And if you want to be blessed even more, give more than 10%. You can't outgive God. That's what He's saying. So the question is, folks, how much do you want to be blessed? Right? Give, and it will be given unto you. It's profitable. Now let's cut through all the chase and get down to the heart of the issue. Okay? Because the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. Do you really believe God? Do you really believe God? Oh yeah, I believe God. But we just can't afford to tithe. You don't believe God, folks. You don't believe Him. Give, and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. So the heart of the issue is our belief in God. Will He keep His word or not? Can we trust Him? You see, that's why our giving is such a barometer of our spiritual condition. It shows so much about us, what we really believe. You know, what you believe is not what you say with your lips, folks. What you believe is what you live with your life. That's what you really believe. As they say, talk comes cheap. It's action that costs. So I leave you with this thought. Do you really believe God that He'll keep His word? Then step out in obedience. Man, I've known couples that said, "Boy, I don't know how we're going to do it. I mean, it just won't, on paper, it won't work. But God, You've convicted us that we need to be at least tithing, giving a tenth, and we're going to step out in faith this month and do it." Never had a one come back and say, "We're starving to death, preacher. We don't have anything to eat." And that doesn't mean you can waste your money in other areas and think God's going to be obligated to make up for your sorry stewardship. I mean, Crown Ministries offers a class in the fall here. David Daniels teaches. It has great principles of stewardship that I encourage everyone to get in on and take. But let me tell you, if you're trusting God, if you're walking in obedience, then you give and He will meet your needs. And He may be testing your faith. He may be strengthening your faith. He may be showing you a change of direction in your life and getting your attention because of your finances. But let me tell you, David said, I was young and now I am old. And there's two things I've never seen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. You can trust God. He may let you get close to show you what's really important in life. He may let you get down to the bare essentials to get your priorities straight. But He's not going to let you go. He's not going to drop you. He's going to teach you and abundantly bless you. His plans for you are not calamity, but blessing. Do you believe Him? Let's pray. Father, I trust Your Spirit, as I've been looking and speaking of Your Word to Your people, has convicted us of our area of need, where we need to be giving, where we need to start giving, where we've been holding back and thinking, I can't. That You've convicted us, that's the very place we need to start. In faith, trusting You. Use Your Word, Father, to build up the body, to bring us into deeper levels of obedience and faith, that we might see Your hand in our lives as we've never seen it before. In Jesus' name, amen. And perhaps you've never given at that all-crucial place, and that is your life, to Christ. As we said, that's the first step, is giving your all to Him. Surrendering to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Acknowledging that you need what He's done for you, but you can't do anything to add to it. You can't earn heaven. All right, relation with God, it's a gift. But you receive that gift by giving all that you are to Him, surrendering to Him and saying, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Man, I have needs in my life that only You can meet. And the most important need is eternal life. Because without You, I am bound for an eternity in hell because of my sinfulness. But You gave the greatest gift, the Lord Jesus. And I give myself to You, trusting You. I lay myself in Your hands. Trusting You to be my Savior and Lord. If you've not made that commitment, do so today. If we stand and sing, you can step out in response to God. If you need to come and pray, do so. If you want to do business with God where you stand, you just be obedient.
Let's stand. Turn to 335.